During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Wheaton's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Nothing has been certified and the president has not conceded, but it's looking less and less likely, like President Donald Trump won the recent election. So what do we do with all the promises and the prophecies that were made by charismatic leaders leading up to this election cycle that President Trump would win the election? They had it not only on their own political authority or acumen, they had it on God's authority. God had told them, they said, that President Trump would win, and in some cases, maybe what would happen after he was reelected. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be looking at failed election prophecies made by charismatic leaders. Joining us to do so on this Friday, November the 13th, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So, Chris, someone is going to say, look, nothing's been certified yet, and these prophecies that we're going to hear about the election outcomes could still come true. What's your response?
Whether or not they come true, Deuteronomy 13 makes it clear that even if somebody gives a prophecy and it comes true, that doesn't mean that they're really a prophet of God. Each of the people that we're featuring here are very well known for their false doctrine, their false theology, and I would even argue their different spirit and at many times different gospel. And so whether or not these so-called utterances of the Lord come to pass or not, they're still actually going to be false prophets.
What are we going to hear first?
We're going to hear Kenneth Copeland and Strang, the guy who founded the Charisma magazine, Steve Strang, discussing a prophecy from way back from a guy who was a luminary in the prophetic movement called Kim Clement. He died a few years back, and he prophesied regarding Donald Trump, and let's hear what he had to say.
You know, we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, not just the early church. And prophecy is probably the most misunderstood.
It is.
For a lot of reasons. But a lot of people would know the name Kim Clement.
Yes.
He was a personal friend of mine since the 90s. He was a little different. He actually died young. He got a stroke. He died the same month that Trump was elected. And the reason that's significant is these prophecies, which are all over YouTube, could not be manufactured.
That's right.
You know, some people will try to make something look and predate it, or, you know, nowadays with Photoshop, you can do anything almost. But in 2007 and 2008 timeframe, there were two. You can go on YouTube and see them. I've watched them several times. He's prophesying and he's talking about how God is Trump is going to be a trumpet. And that God is going to raise up a disruptor. Mm-hmm. And he says he's going to be in office for two terms.
All right, Chris, even if we lay aside the two terms thing, someone says, wow, you can't manufacture that stuff.
Well, that doesn't tell us the source. And I would note that if you've followed Ken Clement's ministry, and I have prior to his death from cancer, this is a guy who gave many, many prophecies, and they were a lot like kind of Nostradamus's prophecies. They were very vague, veiled in kind of symbolic language, and oftentimes could be, you know, interpreted so many different ways that it was, you know, that it's impossible to actually say that this was an actual prophecy regarding Trump. And you'll note that even Steve Strang said that he didn't mention Trump specifically, but he said that God would raise up a trumpet and a disruptor and things like that. And so, Kim Clement, if this was really a valid prophecy, then we would expect, you know, number one, his theology to be proper and to be focused in on Christ instead of signs and wonders and so-called words of knowledge and words from the Lord. Over and again, these false prophets, you know, their theology is the thing that ultimately proves that they are false prophets. And Kim Clement is clearly in that league.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. When we come back, are people just hearing what they want to hear, seeing what they want to see in these failed prophecies?
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're discussing election prophecies by charismatic leaders. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications. Find out about this confessional Lutheran worldwide mission outreach at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Chris, before the break, you had mentioned Nostradamus, this kind of these cryptic writings that people can just kind of read any way they want to. People tend to see what they want to see in them. Is that what's going on here with these charismatic prophecies?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of the thing is that the people who claim that we need prophecy for today are taking us back to a time when we saw through a mirror dimly. Paul makes a point in 1 Corinthians 14 that prophecy and tongues would cease when the mature thing that was being created was finished, and that's referring to the actual finishing of the Word of God, the written Word of God. And he points out the fact that Moses saw God face to face. In the same way, we now, with a clear word from God in the Holy Scriptures, we don't have puzzles and riddles to solve. Instead, we hear God clearly and directly in the written Word of God. And these prophets always and again are saying these weird cryptic things that are hard on their face to even understand because the sentences don't make sense. But the symbols oftentimes are just really screwy, and I would even say unsolvable. You can see in them whatever you want to see.
What's next on our list of election prophecies?
So we're going to hear Steve Strang and Kenneth Copeland now explaining that there were actual signs in the heavens at the birth of Donald Trump and at particular important points in his presidency that are signs from God that God is, that this is God's man.
Talk about Donald Trump and blood moons.
The prophecies that happened with that Donald Trump would be elected, and he was.
And he was.
I document the
by
prophecies.
By more than one person.
That's right.
By more than just one person.
And also saying. I documented them because, you know, people make fun of prophecies, and prophecies are wrong. Remember 88 reasons why Jesus was going to come in 1988?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if anything, it's crying wolf and it causes people to not recognize the real thing. So I'm careful about it, but I was able to document some prophecies. But also there are people who are teaching about signs in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think we can make a doctrine around this necessarily, although there are a lot of scriptures like you're talking about. And God used signs in the heavens to get the wise men from the Middle East over to Bethlehem to visit the Christ child. It was stars, signs in the heavens. So there are several with Donald Trump, and people find this very interesting. He was born on June 14th, 1946. That day was a blood moon, just like in the scripture. A blood moon is a lunar eclipse where it looks red, so they call it a blood moon. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I really don't. I say this in the book too. But then if you take from the day of his birth and you go forward to the day that Israel was born, do you remember that date? May 14th, 1948.
Yes. Yes.
It's exactly 700 days. When Donald Trump was elected president, the day he swore the oath of office, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. The day he was...
See if you can work that out.
It makes, it, at least for me, it makes me go, it's just interesting coincidence. The year he was inaugurated in the Jewish calendar is 5777. Also, in the middle part of his term, which would have been January 20th, 2019, the midpoint, right, between the first inauguration and when the next inauguration happens, that was also a blood moon. It's just interesting that God would send these signs.
Now, it's one thing to have a blood moon. Well, so what? But another blood moon and another blood moon and another blood moon.
And on the day you're born,
Yeah, and it just starts stacking up. And then prophetic words that are being spoken. You cannot ignore that.
Okay, Chris, I got to admit, this is creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is paganism. There's no two ways about it. But take us through the claims of the blood moons and the strange coincidence of sevens and other numbers. And well, he's starting to sound like their Messiah at this point.
Yeah. So let's deal with what the biblical prohibition is against these things. Scripture is very clear in the Old Testament that we are not to engage in what is called reading omens. And that's what this is. This is overtly the reading of omens. And so he was born on a blood moon and there was so many 700 days and 70 days and all this kind of stuff. This is the flat out the reading of omens in Scripture. Very clearly prohibits this. But the whole blood moon thing is something that has now been woven into the tapestry of charismatic evangelicalism as a result of John Hagee's book a few years back called The Four Blood Moons. And so the claim is that in Scripture, Jesus warns that in the last days that the moon would be turned to blood. And years ago, I actually debunked all of this, pointing that they were omitting a very important fact. It is true that Christ does say that in the days immediately prior to his return, that the moon would appear like blood. But the reason for that is because the sun would be darkened and no longer give off its light. And so the natural phenomenon that has been taking place on our planet since the creation of there being lunar eclipses is not anything that is a sign regarding anything. It's just the way in which our solar system and our planet and our moon interact with each other. And these things are very natural. They are predictable. They are not signs in any way whatsoever, nor does a blood moon. Is it a harbinger of anything that Christ was referring to regarding the end of days? But now what they're doing is that blood moons, because of Hagee's book, have been kind of woven back into evangelicalism, and they see it as some type of affirmation that God is speaking something in the heavens regarding individual people. Well, this is also the basic premise behind what's called astrology. And so my question is, will we be hearing what astrological sign he was born under after this? I mean, this is nuts when you consider it. There's nothing Christian about this.
Can you respond to Copeland's kind of rhetorical statement that, well, if it's just one blood moon, but then it's this, and then it's all these prophecies? He's kind of making a critical mass argument for the fact that these prophecies must all be true, because otherwise no one would be noticing all these things about the coincidences of President Trump's life.
Think of it this way, is within the charismatic movement, what we saw in the months leading up to the election was prophetic echo chamber, best way of putting it. And I would note that some of the greatest names alive today within the prophetic movement, in the signs and wonders movement, in the charismatic movement, in the NAR, all prophesied that Trump would win the election. This would include Chris Vallotton, Sid Roth, Jeremiah Johnson, and Paula White, and others. Ken Copeland, Steve Strang, all of them pointing to, and then you got Mark Taylor and others. It was an echo chamber, and in the prophetic movement, when you have so many what they would consider notable and very accurate, they would not say 100% accurate, but very accurate prophets all saying the same thing, they see that as affirmation that this is truly a word from God. But I would remind everybody that back at the beginning of the year, the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders gathered, in November of last year in Texas. And all of them, people from around the world, we're talking 60 or more notable prophets all gathered together. What is the Lord saying for the year 2020? Not one of them said that there would be a global pandemic, that the global economy would take a hit, huge hit, that there would be, race riots, of magnitudes that we haven't seen in decades in the United States. And it's these same people who also prophesied that Trump would win. And you would think that they would have been chastened by the fact that none of them got it right regarding COVID. And many of them even prophesied that at the time of the Passover in April of this year, that there would be a diminishing of the pandemic and that God was going to, basically make it all go away. Well, that hasn't worked out either. I mean, just yesterday, over 150,000 people in the United States tested positive for COVID. It's far from diminishing at the moment. So, these are people who are, all of 2020 has shown them to be the false prophets, false teachers, and frauds that they are. They are not hearing the voice of God. Instead, they are doing the work of the devil and distracting us away from the actual word of God, which is the Bible.
Then I want to also kind of note here that let's go back 4 years, 8 years, 12 years. They were probably saying similar things about Barack Obama, but it was a harbinger of great evil instead of this sign of great good and God's favor over someone like Donald Trump.
Yeah, but they were very, very careful in their prophetic words regarding Barack Obama. I do believe that there was a fear of them being labeled as racist and things like this. And so rather than focusing their ire on Obama, they would instead give positive and reaffirming messages regarding the one who would ultimately take the presidency after Obama. That's really how that went down years ago.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about failed election prophecies by charismatic leaders. We'll hear some more of them next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our trek through St. Matthew with the Canaanite woman, healings and the feeding of the 4,000, demand for a sign, leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the confession of St. Peter. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at The Word Endures and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Konoha, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever had to have that difficult conversation with friends and family when they come to your church and you have to say, "I'm sorry, you're not a member. You can't commune here. We practice closed communion." It's a difficult conversation, and yet it's a very important conversation. Pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today to learn about how to have this conversation with your friends and loved ones in a way that confesses the truth about Jesus Christ. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
They're not being honest about what they believe about family. They're not being honest with what they believe about diversity in their industries. They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them.
How can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
For many, many voters, it would be disqualifying, for instance, if the candidate were openly racist. If he said, well, I'm for equal rights for all human beings except for black people or except for Jewish people. I mean, I hope for most people that would disqualify them.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a soundbite from Dr. Arthur Just, Where to Find Peace in Turbulent Times, one from Terry Mattingly, a theory about the inaccuracy of polls. Robert Spencer has a soundbite on the Austrian terrorist, Islam and repentance. And soundbite number 4 comes from Dr. Christopher Kaiser. All voters have disqualifying issues. 15 minutes from now, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You could vote in advance at facebook.com/issues ETC. In the meantime, we're talking about election prophecies from charismatic leaders. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So what's next in the line of prophecies from these charismatic leaders, Chris?
Well, very famous person from the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, and this is his claim that what God told him would be happening this year regarding the election and what the post-election United States would look like.
Well, here goes. I want to share with you, I was praying on Sunday saying, God, please tell me how it's going to happen. And I hope I've got the word. But first of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. That doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work. But he's going to win. That's, I think, a given. But after he is sworn in, and his vice president is Mike Pence, then trouble is going to happen. He's going to be challenged by the Chinese, as you couldn't believe. He'll be faced probably with some kind of a war. The North Koreans are going to have nuclear weapons. They're going to threaten us. The Russians are going to do everything they can. The Turks have got their things going. And after Trump is sworn in, we're going to see civic disobedience in our America that will just be mind-boggling. The country will be torn apart. But you talk about Trump derangement syndrome, it's going to be horrible. Because already, without anything happening, we've got trouble in the streets. But there will be at least 2 attempts on the president's life. And it's going to be very difficult. So I would just urge you, if you should pray for him. But now in the process that this confusion is happening in America and it looks like our country is being torn apart, the fulfillment will take place of Ezekiel 38's prophecy. And here's what it says. It says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says, in that day, when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? And you will come from your place to the far north and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You'll advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land that the nations may know me when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. Now, that's going to be next. You're going to have Trump win. You're going to have civic discourse. You're going to have at least 2 attempts on the life of the president. And, you know, you just pray as to what's going to happen in relation to that. But this country is going to be torn apart. And it will be the opportunity for Erdogan and Iran to come together against Israel. And that's what Ezekiel says is going to happen, that there's going to be this tremendous horde.
Okay, Chris, take that. There's a lot there to digest. Take that one apart for us.
So Robertson is claiming not only will Trump win, but after his inauguration that the turmoil in the United States would hit a boiling point. There would be two assassination attempts against Trump, and that basically two major countries of the Middle East would attack or invade the nation of Israel. And he's claiming that this is all coming directly from God himself. So that's his particular prophecy. And I'll note that his is a little bit unique in that sense as far as all the follow-up detail. But where he is singing the same song as the choir, the prophetic echo chamber, is that they claim that Trump is going to win the election.
This is pretty specific. Two assassination attempts. North Korea, he even kind of outlined the plan. The North Koreans and the Russians are going to threaten nuclear war. And then he, of course, had to have Israel in there being threatened by its current enemies, Iran and some other countries. Why is Israel always in the mix for these end times prophecies?
The reason being is because in the dispensational eschatological view, the focus of God's grace and mercy and salvation, once the church is raptured, when Jesus secretly returns and snatches the church up to heaven, that the focus is going to be on the nation state of Israel and those who are genetically Jewish. And they're going to be the major players as far as Christianity is concerned and belief in Christ in the what's called the 7-year tribulation. And so basically what Pat Robertson is doing is claiming that in the days ahead, immediately after the inauguration of Trump in his second term, we're going to see the unfolding of world events that are going to take us to the brink or all the way up to the 7-year tribulation.
Okay, so just to kind of play out his scenario, if Trump doesn't win a second term, then according to his prophecy there, does it all just kind of get put off? Or does he say, well, okay, that was all contingent on Trump getting reelected?
So charismatics have this funny way of coming up with excuses that seem valid but are invalid when it comes to why they got it wrong. Over and again, they'll say it's a mistake. They'll say in the New Testament that New Testament prophets are not held to the same standard as the Old Testament prophets, that maybe they heard their flesh and their own desires as opposed to hearing the actual voice of God. Or in some cases, they'll say, well, God said he would do these things, but this was contingent upon the church or people doing particular things. They always like to kind of backwards load those. So, over and again, these are all excuses, but Scripture is very clear in Deuteronomy 18 that if somebody says something is going to happen and it doesn't, that's the word that God has not spoken, and they are a false prophet. And in the Old Testament, false prophets suffered the death penalty for their error. In the New Testament era, they should be excommunicated, but you get the idea.
I think we have one more, Chris.
Yeah, so this, I don't know if this is really a prophecy, and if you want to tap out on this one, I won't blame you. But this is the audio of Paula White in a prayer service that she was having, and all I can describe this is some kind of weird mantra that she's invoking in order to make it so that Trump will win. It's very weird. Listen in.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda ata ata raka te da baka sanda ata ambo osa katarite eke banda ata rike tidi ashata. stop. For angels have even been dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. From Africa. From South America. Angelic forces. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Angelic reinforcement. Fika hata anda ata ora bata rata anda eke eke manda rasata. For I hear the sound of victory. 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 I hear the sound of victory.
And she could go on. Chris.
Yeah.
Translate that for us.
I don't have the gift of translating gibberish. So what it is that we heard, that wasn't prayer, by the way. That was her decreeing and declaring. And then that was not the actual biblical manifestation of the gift of tongues, the supernatural ability to speak a language you haven't studied for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel. That was just straight up gibberish. This is what we call vain repetition. It's very pagan in its in where it comes from. This is not having anything to do with prayers and supplications before God or humbling yourself and making your petitions known. This is a form of, if you would, witchcraft, decreeing and declaring. Yeah, I can't say anything positive about this. Not only that, it just made no sense. And apparently the angels she dispatched from Africa may have taken a wrong turn at Albuquerque. They didn't quite arrive yet. But maybe they'll show up. Who knows? And keep in mind, Paula White is the head, the spiritual advisor to Donald Trump, and she has a job at the White House, so she regularly meets with him, prays with him, and teaches him what Christianity is and stuff. And this woman, is nothing about her is even Christian at all.
But she can hedge her bets here, because she can say, "Oh, I may have mistaken what the Spirit was saying through me there. I thought it might apply to Trump, and it was maybe applying to something else," right?
I wouldn't put it past her, because at the end of the day, if Biden is confirmed to be the president-elect and then put into office at the end of January, they're all going to have some explaining to do. But it's not just explaining why they got this wrong. It's why did they get everything else wrong regarding 2020 as well, and also their theology and their doctrine and their practice and all this other stuff. I think that 2020 has created a unique opportunity for us to see the charismatic movement for the fraud that it is, and its leaders for the frauds that they are, because that's exactly what they are. They are not the voice of God. They are not representing Christ. They do not speak his words. They are not hearing from them. They don't glow in the dark. That isn't tongues. And instead, what they are really doing is fulfilling Christ's prophecies that in the end times, there will be people who would traffic in false signs and false wonders in his name to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Chris, you had mentioned Paula White's role in the White House over the last 4 years. Do you think it's the kind of unprecedented access they've had to the president and the administration that has caused President Trump to inspire such, let's just graciously call it, prophetic imaginings?
It's a little bit tough to say, because her relationship with Trump predates his time in the White House by many years. And so they had a friendship long before that. And prior to him running for office, he reached out to Paula White and asked her to contact her good friends like Ken Copeland and others for the purpose of praying for him as he considers a run for the office. And so even before he ran this time, for 2016 for the presidency, he was already in bed with these televangelists, and they jumped on this opportunity to, put forward, that they prophetically called it regarding his first administration. They were in tight with him, and many of them have had meetings with him privately and in other ways. That basically they've used Trump's coattails for the purpose of validating their false ministries, and that's a terrible aspect of the Trump administration that will be a long part of his legacy.
So, Chris, after the lawsuits have been settled or withdrawn, after the election has been certified mid-December, if President Trump isn't declared the winner, these so-called prophets might say that he did actually win the election, but it was stolen from him. How would you respond to that?
all of their prophecies said that he would win. Many of them said he would win by a landslide. And in the case of Pat Robertson's, even talked about what it would be like in America after his inauguration. All of their attempts to water down, to change, to modify the prophecies that they spoke in God's name really are not going to fly, with the exception of like the diehard charismatics who, it doesn't matter what evidence you show them that these people are false prophets and false teachers, they won't listen to you. They will continue to listen to them. So their excuses, they'll come up with flim-flam scams, and people will see it for what it is. But at the end of the day, their followers who just continue to blindly follow them will continue to do so.
With 30 seconds, the temptation is to just laugh this off. Why shouldn't we laugh off when people say, "Thus saith the Lord," and utter falsehoods?
The reason being is because it's a breaking of the second commandment. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And God himself warns in Exodus that he will not hold somebody guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is a very, very serious thing when somebody takes the name of God and applies it to false words that God has not spoken. In Jeremiah 23, God says he's against the prophets who do this. And he's expressly stated that we are not to listen to prophets who do not, God who has not sent. And so this is something the church must take seriously. And the part of the reason why the church is in the miserable state that it is in presently is due to the fact that we do not take the second commandment seriously at all. And when people are shown to be false prophets, we make excuses for them rather than excommunicate them.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
We're coming to you live this Friday, November the 13th, and after the break, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote in advance, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite of the Week is next. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
In the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture, and three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri, and Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.